Welcome,
welcome,
Matt Howie.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
This is episode 35 of the podcast. The last one was in mid-November, so this is the last two-ish weeks or so and Thanksgiving-ish time for Americans.
Yep.
Are there?
It sure is.
Are there any other like late November holidays in other countries that are like things? Like, you know how like Christmas, there's like Christmas and Boxing Day and Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and Solstice, but like Thanksgiving
harvest festivals, right? Like Canada has a Thanksgiving in October, doesn't it? I mean, a virtual Thanksgiving.
Yeah, that's what Orange Swan was saying.
Yeah, like theirs was like a month before. Ish. Probably because totally fucking colder.
Well, here too, really.
Yeah.
Our harvest festivals were mostly then. All right, so maybe not. This was the other... Oh, well, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Josh.
How you doing?
Pretty good, you?
I'm good. I've been solid.
So I guess let's just jump right into music then. Josh, give us the music report, and I should, like, tap a typewriter somewhere so it sounds official.
In music the last couple of weeks, people have been posting songs, and they're good.
And the challenge. And the challenge.
November's challenge recap.
Oh, yeah. We kind of talked about that. It got off to a pretty quick start last time. Like, in the first couple of weeks, there was already a bunch of stuff we talked about in the podcast. And that sort of kept going. So there's been some more...
Lots of
short songs. Anything, you know, if you go back to the last podcast and click through the tags, you can see it's sort of still flying along.
Lots of cover songs too.
Was that a lot of those covers still going on from that request thread. There's been actually one of the ones that one of my favorite songs since we did the podcast was posted. I think like the same day we recorded that one.
Mm-hmm.
Choco Cat actually made my day and answered my request to cover Watching the Detectives by Elvis Costello.
Oh, that song was great. That song was totally great.
He just really knocked it out of the fucking park. It was wonderful.
Nice girl's not one with defects, faint shrink wrap so correct. Red dogs under needle legs. She looks so good that he gets down and begs. She's watching the detectives.
Was he the one that did the cover of that Violent Femme song, too? There was another cover that I really, really liked.
God, I don't know if that was him.
Let me check real quick.
Yeah.
You can keep talking. But
And then December's challenge is probably holiday music.
You know, I haven't
actually... Fractured holiday music. Holiday music.
I didn't look at the challenges yet for December,
there's
but I was kind
one.
Of getting that
there's
feeling based
one.
On... Oh, is it just the one? Because yeah, I know
you're terrible at the music recap.
You know, I'm new at this.
You're fired from the music desk.
What I was going to say is I hadn't looked at the theme, but I pretty much figured it out when I saw all these songs about like Satan. You know, that pretty much gave it away. You know, buttfuck baby Jesus.
Wow.
Tis the season.
It, but yeah.
If I request a cover of Rock Jingle. Bell.
Rock Bell.
Yeah, Jingle Rock Bell by somebody else. Maybe I could implode the Metafilter music universe.
You should do that. Just go into the thread and throw down. That's what it's there for.
That's right.
Exactly, and it's linked at the top of music. This was the other thing that Choco Cat does. It's a Violent Femmes cover from a long time ago, but it has this total win comment in it because he got his daughter to holler for it. Because it's all about somebody pushing his daughter into the well, and so he talks about how he got his daughter to scream as if he were pushing her in a well.
Oh, God,
and
that's right.
Thought
yeah,
it was funny.
Wow.
I gave her a shove. I pushed with all my might. I pushed with all my love. I threw my child into a bottomless pit. She was screaming as she.
And the cover was just wonderful, and it was a great song.
Yeah, the covers are just making me really happy, but I kind of feel bad because I want to encourage more of the random, original stuff. But Mexican did a cover of My Own Personal Jesus that I kind of have a hard time describing it. It really immediately struck me when I was listening to it. It's like It's like Laurie Anderson and Peter Gabriel like got really high and decided to try and make Depeche Mode cry, because this real sort of low Satan voice sort of thing over this really frenetic like marimba backing track. I don't know.
That is lush.
That's terrific.
And Mexican's been doing that. He did a really bad cover of "Are You Gonna Go My Way?" I think, or maybe something like a Kravitz song. It was one of his other goddamn endless repeat pop songs. But yeah, he did that, and he was talking about doing more bad covers, like not just like completely awful, but you know, intentionally sort of fucked up. And so I think this is another entry in that
shitty
line of
covers. Oh yeah, he did the Immigrant Song. There's "Are You Gonna Go My Way?" Yeah,
that's the "Come from the Land of the Ice and Snow" song.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yay for music. Well, and I think the cover thing is good because for some people they might feel skittier about starting with their own stuff for whatever reason, and so it gives them a way to ease into the community and everyone's like, oh my god, this is awesome, and then
that's great. I mean, anything that's going to get someone sort of comfortable jumping on. I just remember when we first started, we were like, well, let's not do covers, and now it's sort of like gotten more and more where it's not just okay, but kind of people are like, yeah, covers, and I'm really enjoying it, but I feel like, what if we're going to wander into that tricky territory where we're exposing ourselves to some sort of liability from an angry label or some bullshit.
Like the chances of ASCAP coming down hard on us is so ridiculous.
It's pretty low.
I don't even log visits to Metafilter, so I can't even tell how many things have been played, because at worst they'd want like whatever, a nickel per play or something kooky.
They'd want a nickel per play of everything you've ever played ever.
Everything you've ever hummed on the phone.
Which, you know, now that we don't have play counts anymore,
Suck it, ASCAP.
We'll write you a check for nothing.
Who's representing the artist now, bitch?
Zero times 3,000 is still zero.
Okay, so a couple other things that are actually, that are original stuff. There's the Small Town News Affiliate theme song.
Oh, yeah.
From D'Agosto.
That's a tour de force.
Yeah, it's just it's perfectly spot on. Oh, you gotta check it out.
It's only like 30 seconds long, so listen to it.
First time I listened to it, I put it on and I was reading something else, so I like hit play and then tabbed over like I usually do when I'm just listening to stuff at random, and by the time it was over I had forgotten what I was listening to and why, because it is so spot on. It's like I had just left like a TPM like a talking points video clip open, and they had been playing a cable news theme or something.
I had the exact,
and you were like, to what?
Same experience. I had like 10 tabs open, and I just sort of opened it in a tab and was playing it, and then I was like, what, is there a YouTube tab of like, you know, Atlanta Channel News 9 on or something?
Yeah, so
and
I mean,
I had to double check all my tabs, and I was like, that kid, no. And I'm like, you can't make that kind of music with a modern computer, but you can.
Yeah, a stunning endorsement of how well done that was. And there was also a song from user Jenny is Crafty.
She's been all over the site like all month. She put stuff in the store, and I've been like reading her stuff other places too. I didn't know she was even in music.
Yeah, no, she posted I want to say she's posted a couple things over there before, but she just posted a song that was basically her singing like really, really minimalist thing, this, but singing a poem her mom wrote that she's like putting this together as a Christmas present or whatever. Ooh. And it's just really great. I mean, it's really simple. It's kind of an understated little thing, not something that would necessarily pop out at the masses. You know, it doesn't have the catchiness of Punch Him in the Dick as far as a song to listen to, but it's really great. It's just a really nice piece of work. So I definitely wanted to mention that.
I do not appear to change, but like the rock, as time moves on, I am.
Ooh, that should like cross over eventually with you know, Ask Metafilter threads on cheap handmade presents you can give to family that is that are unusual and aren't a scarf or something. Like,
yep.
You know, singing a poem someone else in your family wrote is probably pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. I think so.
Sounds kind of haunting. The second tag on it is depression.
It's not a cheerful song.
We swear it's good.
I also like this one song, which is just another one of those kind of really light, it's a classical guitar kind of thing. If we were looking for more like lead-in or lead-out music,
yeah.
Instead of depression, it's called Laid Back, which I think is...
Oh, that's... Yeah, perfect.
Very pretty.
Good bumpers.
Exactly.
That's our NPR music.
Well, exactly.
So let's move over to like projects and jobs. Jobs is just web jobs. There's been like 5 web jobs. That's it. I don't think there's anything.
Yeah, there's been like 5 jobs, period.
Well, yeah, I know. And they're all little tiny web gigs. But I mean, this might be a reflection of the economy.
Hey, but you know, the most recent one there, it's Brad Sucks needs a, his website needs a tune-up, I guess. So so if you want to make Brad Sucks' site suck less...
BradSucksLess.com.
Yes. BradIsDoingOkay.com. This Brad guy, I'm having second thoughts.com. You know, something like that.
Every band person, not to... every person with their own band site, it's just a nightmare of 10 different, you know, piles of pieces of code. You know, I tried out a forum, I have this music streaming thing, I'm running WordPress, but it's like 10 versions back.
Here's my MySpace and a sidebar widget from a company that doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
My label wants me to try this.
I would totally be all about, you know, paying someone to just clean slate the whole thing.
And yeah. Yeah,
just the nuclear option. Yeah.
Yeah, just because, you know, DIY musicians are like, hey, what the hell? Why, you know, it's one little PHP thing to drop in. Not to denigrate the current Brad Sucks or every other musician, but
yours is great, frenetic,
endless tinkering. What was your favorite projects? Where the hell is the project? Oh, my favorite project was something I'll never use or need.
The animated advent calendar?
The cufflinks one.
A
blog about, like, talk about your niches, but, you know, someone who likes cufflinks has no reason to wear them, doesn't even buy them, just, like, notes the cool ones online, and surprisingly cool and useful when you can get R2-D2 cufflinks or Obama O's or whatever you want.
Come on, those are beautiful. This is a great site.
Yeah, it's kind
of
cool,
one of those
weird
sites, like that shoe site, It takes interfaces that suck and makes them beautiful, and then people are like, I would like to buy some of these. Recycled biochem coupons? What? Awesome.
Yeah, this is
salt
very...
Salt and pepper cufflinks?
This is very browsable in a good way.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did... it's a crazy blog template or something, but it's pretty cool. Oh, it's WordPress. Huh.
Really?
Yeah. Like, just a wacky... 10 posts, 12 posts per page, and you make them into boxes. Interesting.
And they all just line up that way.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
What was Public Radio Podcast?
It's M. Mascolino just sort of did a little bit of deep linking under the hood to provide some RSS functionality where NPR hasn't necessarily done a great job of that. So basically, you know, you can get at the feeds for the podcast for various shows. You know, it's not
that's
like this stuff is
being very polite.
Yeah.
NPR is like the thomaslock.gov of, you know, giant archives that are completely fucking useless to modern technology, kind of, but could use a little help.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's one of those things. I mean, it's kind of an understated project. It's like, here are, you know, making access to podcasts slightly simpler, but, you know, it's, at the same time, it's a great little thing, you know?
A podcast for every single person on NPR, and I just found Catherine Yu at the bottom. Wow.
Really?
Metafilter
really?
Member. Yes, for yeah, every time she has a little music plug, and it has the songs. Cool.
Metafilter's own.
Yes, Metafilter's own. We own her.
Oh, so wait, is my friend Robert there too then? I have a buddy who works there.
Robert, let me just do a find in page, which is broken.
Smith!
Cokie Roberts. Diane Roberts. Robert Siegel.
No, Robert Smith. There he is. Correspondent, National Desk. Yay! I've got my friend's
Does he have a nice voice?
Feed. I think so. I mean, he sounds like everybody else on NPR.
Didn't we have him do voiceovers for this? A little intro.
Well, just, you know, see if he wants to do like a one-off sting for one show. It can be the official we have.
I don't even think he's on Metafilter, but he used to come to like open mic nights I'd have in Seattle, and he did a great thing about what it was like being a radio guy covering the implosion of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Because it's all like radio, right? So you can't take amazing pictures of the destruction. You have to just put microphones near it and be like, yeah, that's it falling apart.
Well, it's got to be like, you know, sports play-by-play on the radio, right? You know, it's except
right,
for,
right.
You know, the collapse of a large structure, you know. The girder tosses it to the supporting...
Oh, the beam. Humanity.
Oh, and...
Yeah. The rats fleeing. Yes, exactly. I'm going to send this to him. He'll be happy.
Oh, did you read? Feed of himself.
Did you read Aspergirl's latest project? Like, it's really, it's recent. I haven't
woke up this morning. Yeah, I woke up this morning and proved it. She was trying to do some research on what happened to people in an internment camp during the war, but I didn't have time to read what she had gotten to so far. Or she's trying to assemble it, or she has it. I couldn't tell.
She has the information. She got it from a certain Holocaust librarian that we know, but she got somebody to find a German translator and then did it for cheap, and then... it's online because she had it put online at the Jewish genealogy database. At any rate, it's a happy story and you should go read it.
Happy in relative terms. I guess we can just go to Metafilter stuff.
Super.
Metafilter stuff. Let me see. From like November 17th on.
There was a... I said something about the Asperger's thread that Grumblebee posted, the take the Asperger's test thing in the last podcast, as sort of like the ultimate Metafilter bait for pulling in this weird sort of self-reflective discussion of everybody's proclivities. And there's like the non-psychological version of that in the last couple of weeks. There was this thread about dice manufacturing. From a manufacturer of gaming dice on, you know, the problems with round-edged dice and your...
And dice molds.
Yeah. And it just, it turned in sort of the same thing, except for, like, everybody with any sort of hand in either role-playing games or applied geometry... Or sort of casino management. That, you know, it pulled in on these weird little angles because... Yeah, it's like you had people just sort of geeking out over every aspect of it. I learned about metal glasses, which was something I had no idea about from the thread when someone pointed out that you could, you know, try and get dice manufactured from these special alloys that have incredibly high elasticity because of the strange method by which they are produced. Oh. You know, and there's 20 different tangents, all of which are like just ridiculous. Sort of, you could spend the day reading about this thing, all out of this thread about how D20s that other people make aren't as good as the D20s that the guy in the link makes.
Yeah, it was just video interview with this guy talking about dice, and it turned into this amazing, multifaceted thread.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
everything's
it'd be
good
a,
about Metafilter wandering.
A time-lapse YouTube video of a guy rolling a D20 like 10,000 times and showing minor statistical anomaly.
No, but there are discussions in the thread about statistical anomalies in a die that the guy actually had designed. Somebody did 5,000 and something trials to determine that there was a bias towards the poles of a nearly spherical D100.
That wouldn't be that
hard. Of course, right?
You know, it's yeah, it comes up at you know, corporate holiday parties too.
It wouldn't be that hard to make like a like a Lego Mindstorms dice rolling hand bot that takes like a digital photo of the final, like when you have a sound. Oh man, you could probably build this with like tabletop stuff. That's listen for
and
the
then
sound
spits out a
stuff.
Random number. I don't
no,
understand.
No, take a photo, do like recognition for number of dots and record it like in an Excel spreadsheet.
You'd be building this little die rolling robot so that you could let it run by itself for 24 hours so you don't have to roll a die 5,000 times yourself.
Yeah, pick up, drop, listen for no sound, then take a digital photo and then pick up, drop, and just repeat.
I think Mechanical Turk will do that for cheap.
Yeah, but they're bored college students. There's no...
How does this help save the planet? That is my question. I just wanted to hear you
Once
make
I
that
win
noise.
At craps, then I can save the environment. That's pretty cool.
So can anybody explain this post that I think is probably brilliant, but I don't kind of get it, but the people who loved it seem to really, really, really love it?
Oh, yeah, this perplexed
I can't,
me.
I can't even pronounce the word. I was thinking cortex, maybe this was something. Maybe you had a little bit of...
You're CS-y.
You went to college.
Yeah, no, actually, I know what it's talking about, and if I had actually read the links, I would probably have something useful to say, but I don't remember... Well, I don't know what was in the actual original links, because I jumped into this thread in the middle after somebody faked some kind of pissing match about halting. so like, I don't actually know what the premise was. But it is a really interesting problem and a really interesting discussion. So I enjoyed the thread a lot, but I can't tell you a damn thing about why it all came up.
Okay, your understanding then is the same as mine.
pretty much, yeah. Well, I mean, the halting problem is... Well, I don't think I can actually explain it concisely, so I would just go on for 5 minutes and then there'd be a bunch of problems with what I said. But it's
Matt
really
would
interesting
make that
stuff,
noise
let
again.
Me tell you, from a computer science perspective.
Oh, someone condensed it down it to is. A Twitter post.
Well, except I didn't understand the Twitter
post
either.
Yeah.
Here's the Wikipedia entry. But it seemed like for the people who did really understand it, it was like this brilliant kind of jokey attempt to find somebody to solve a problem that has troubled people since time immemorial.
Well, yeah, and it's a perpetual motion problem. You know, I mean, there's no solution for it because of the nature of the system. And yeah, just as you've had people who have a clever gadget that runs on steam and, you know, creates more energy than it consumes, you know.
And magnets.
Yeah, magnets. Magnets are very important, you know. It's the same thing with the halting problem. You know, it's a basic mathematical, you know, problem, and it can't be solved as far as we know. It's rigorously shown to be unsolvable, but people are like, oh, but no, I've got a system, man. I'm going to make it work.
Right.
One of my sure signs.
Buy my stock.
One of my sure signs that I know something's going to be over my head is when Blasdelf not only understands it fully, but is making jokes about it. I know I just can't keep up. There's no chance.
And is cheery about it,
yes,
too.
Right.
That's sort of what I loved.
Right. He's
it
the wise,
to make him happy, not sad.
He's the wise old sage of uber nerddom who won't explain things, but like mocks me for not knowing enough about things.
But I don't think he's old enough to drink.
Yeah.
No, he was at the 8th anniversary party. He must be at least in his early 20s, right?
Yeah.
No, he was 19 when I met him, which was a couple years ago. Maybe.
He was in a bar, but it was a private party. I thought they carded everyone.
No, they just checked him against the list. I don't know. We'll have to ask him. He's in MetaTalk, so I'm sure he'll tell us.
We should find out.
And he'll give us
like
this root crime number where we have to solve it for his age.
But remember, he's the one that has the little sister who's 14.
Oh. I'm trying to think what I loved. I loved the Apple thread.
How did that turned into like such a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
You made a Twitter post about making the person who invented Honeycrisps the king of making all food more awesome.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I like those apples. And I did some research and found an interesting story.
I love the backstory on it.
Yeah.
And then
about
people
how
love to just talk about
their
the
favorite apples.
And then people like to nerd out on like all the small varietals of apples that are better. But of course, but this is sort of a national apple type you can find everywhere that's really like all the really good parts of many apples combined into one.
Well, and I didn't really understand what went into making like a special varietal, you know, that like you have to kind of nurture these trees for a really long time until you figure out if your hybrid cross is any good at all, because all apples come out as crosses from other apples, and they don't even know where the dad of the apple came from. And they had to wait like a really long time to see if the apple was worth a damn. And I kind of like it because unlike the new, like the frost-free variety or whatever the hell it was, it doesn't have like a trademark name after it, which I think is going to be the death of, you know, people loving.
Yeah.
People loving apples. There was like Frost. What the fuck was it?
Everything's patented.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the new versions. There's like a Frost something and a something. Oh, whatever. I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but
I'm
yeah, I don't want an
just
apple that's got a trademark name after it. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I totally missed this the first time. I want to shout out the people who like the wrong apples.
Yeah. Oh, it sounds like the people who hated them got some really bad ones. It sounded like people had spoiled apples. They're like, mealy, vinegary. I'm like, that's something like a month old.
Yeah, I once ate something that had gone bad, therefore the thing is bad.
Yeah.
Well, and the Honeycrisp is supposed to be good because it stays, you know, it stays better longer, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, what the... Now I need to figure out what those trademark apples, because I think they suck. And then somebody talked about the grapples, which are like apples that look like apples but taste like grapes, and they're supposed to encourage kids to like eat more fruit.
That's weird.
Because the fuck, like,
you know what they need? They really need a mascot, ideally an anthropomorphized animal on a skateboard. That would really move those grapples. That would
Poochie, the grapple loving dog. If we can make all homework about dinosaurs.
Which is another trademark apple. They're giving away a free soccer ball. But they're horrible. Like, what's wrong with apples? Like, do grapes taste better than apples?
No.
Quick survey. Matt, grapes better than apples?
No, not really.
That's like comparing apples and oranges.
Shut up.
No, but seriously, no, they're good for different things. An apple, you know, I'm never going to want warm grape pie, but, you know, sometimes you want to snack on some grapes, so...
Right, you know. So like, yeah, different apples for different... Oh, God, it was horrible. I didn't even know those existed, so thanks, I think, G-Man, for opening my eyes here. Horrible. Grapples.
So there's this comic, The Abominable Charles Christopher, that I completely missed out on, that's been going on for like a year and something, and it's like a weekly comic. there's a lot of these.
I love
really
it already. I love it already. Oh my God!
It's one of those things where you're gonna kind of know if you like it from the first one or two. It's just like this wonderfully drawn, just absolutely fantastic illustration of this sort of really, really slowly moving story about some animals in the forest and this abominable snowman, I guess, named Charles Christopher, who is just. Just sort of this wonderful mute character who's just this sort of weird, I don't know, wild simpleton wandering through the forest and having this...
He has a mustache.
Yes,
all the other
does.
Animals talk.
Yes.
This is,
and yeah, it's just,
awesome.
It's kind of hard to elevator pitch it, but just go read it. It's gorgeous to look at, and it reads really well. It's one of those situations where you've actually got, you know, this is further proof that the notion that web comics are a weird thing that people who can't draw do... died sometime in the late 90s.
Yeah. This is gorgeous.
Just, yeah.
Like, you can't... This looks like somebody hand drew the art and then did watercolor. Like, you know, black ink watercolor. It's beautiful, but I guess it's got to be digital. Like, I think
he does the coloring in Photoshop, if I'm remembering what he was saying about his process. So he'll ink the stuff scan it and then do the coloring in Photoshop to...
The coloring
to
looks like real runs of watercolor paint.
Yeah. Well, I think he does a few passes on a really, really low opacity sort of watercolor brush in Photoshop, and so just layer some of that on to give it that nice sort of faint depth to it.
I just got a server unavailable message. I think we killed it.
You know, it was struggling pretty hard when the post went up. I was afraid that it was just going to die outright, but it managed to keep kicking along. But I think he's maybe just been experiencing difficulties ever since that big storm came in. I don't know. And speaking of good drawing, there was a post about Nancy, which is not so well drawn, but the post describes it as a neo-Dada game invented by Scott McCloud in the tradition of Exquisite Corpse, which is a pretty good description. It's just the whole notion is you take random panels of the comic Nancy and string them together in order to create a new comic strip as sort of a weird, you know, surrealist competition slash cooperative thing. It's one of those things where if you like Exquisite Corpse, you're probably going to look at it and say, oh, that's awesome. And if you don't like Exquisite Corpse, you're going to hate it. And if you don't know what Exquisite Corpse is, you should really go check it out, because that's some pretty good shit. Exquisite Corpse, it's an old Dada
parlor game. Wow. Dada parlor game.
Where the idea is you sort of take turns continuing some sort of creative work based on a very tiny slice of context from the previous bit. Mm-hmm. So the original was you would take turns adding a word to a sentence, but you can only see like the previous word in the sentence.
So and you can play it with kids, and like you fold a piece of paper so that you only see like a little part of the other drawing, and you draw it. Like the Wikipedia picture's got a good basic example.
There's been some good Exquisite Corpse posts actually on Metafilter before, and over at MetaChat they've actually done some Exquisite Corpse sort of Photoshop chains. I actually participated in a couple, I don't know, a year
ago. Oh, I've seen those. Those are really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a great little idea, and this is sort of playing with that, but using instead of the wide range of creative expression, just instead single panels of Nancy. So it's great, and there's some good discussion in the thread as well about Ernie Bushmiller and some of the sort of background context on it too. So.
When you first mentioned this, you said Scott something was behind it. I was like, that fucking Dilbert guy, this is going to suck. But then I'm like, Scott McCloud. As soon as I loaded it, I was like, holy shit, that's Scott McCloud's lettering. This is going to be awesome.
I would love to see a Scott Adams invent a surrealist game.
Right, it would suck.
I would really like to see
Dilbert
what that would look
a surrealist
like.
Game? I mean...
on some level.
I think that might be giving him a little too much credit for, for philosophical... motivation.
Actually,
and this was the one. Oh, sorry.
Oh yeah, I was gonna go.
Bunny hopping. That was the only other post that I just thought was totally delightful. That was right after the podcast.
Oh shit!
It's people who run around with their bunnies on leashes, and then the bunnies do like steeplechase jumps, only littler because they're bunnies.
Whoa!
That's
what.
Wow. Serious.
That's bizarre.
I'm watching one. How do you make... Wow, that's like a dog agility courses, but I thought it...
But with bunnies on leashes with, like, Swedish girls in shorts.
I thought, like, training a rabbit was, like, a million times harder than a dog.
See?
Well, you know, some people have a lot of time on their hands.
Dude, that's like 4 feet. Jesus.
I know. I kind of think there's something to like pulling up on the leash, you know.
Yeah.
But like, it's and they're speedy. I didn't think rabbits could be that speedy unless something was trying to eat it.
Whoa! Someone did a distance one of like 5 feet, and it's got this horrible Swedish ballads in the background as music. Oh wow!
You know, if someone really wanted to take it up a notch, they'd have a rabbit jump over a Volkswagen rabbit. That would.
I don't get it.
See, because it's the same name for two different things. It's a pun. It's a play on words.
Is this like that programming thing I didn't understand?
Yes. This is the halting problem in rabbit form.
About the only, I was happy to see a Lilacs post show up on Metafilter, a crazy old classic, James Lilacs. Post on a crazy hotel from the Midwest that's been I'll spoil the ending's been like completely leveled and removed from the world.
But dude, just, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's just got like the craziest, awfulest interiors. If you go through the entire tour, there's probably like 30 pages to it. I enjoyed every single one. I mean, there's horrible carpeting choices, and but cool architecture, crazy, wacky out there.
These are places that I try very hard to stay when I travel.
Yeah, it looks...
I bet it was cheap, too.
Oh, yeah. I just, it's a bummer it's gone. It's so great inside.
Rotating bar, purple chairs.
Yep. And there's a nest at the top of the bar that doesn't spin or something. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow. This was amazing. I was just reading that Lilix is somebody who participates on FARC because I was reading the FARC Wikipedia page. And, you know, they claim a lot of the same... sort of well-known celebrities as we do.
Mm. Yeah, but they like us better.
You think so?
They hang out with FARC just, you know, it's an obligation. It's like going to a Christmas party. You have to show up.
And FARC
otherwise, FARC will be all passive-aggressive the rest of the month.
FARC is the dude at the Christmas party who insists on a fist bump, and you're like, oh, come on, dude, you're 35. Do you have to?
I just want to have a few drinks and go home.
He was on Metafilter a long time ago until someone made a really shitty comment about his daughter, and then 9/11 changed everything, and he became kind of an angry right-winger and hated us for hating America, and that's the end of the story.
And went to FARC.
Yeah.
Okay.
No happy ending.
Yeah. See, this is a fun thing. There's all this stuff when I wasn't really paying that much attention to sort of the underlying drama of the site for the first couple of years I was here.
Yeah.
Like 2001 through 2003 or 4 is kind of a blur for me for most of the people who were old schoolers at the time. So
I feel that way about those years generally.
Yeah.
Oh, we should mention this is the best post of the month contest going on all through December. So, they've already started to trickle in. One of my early favorites is this thing about Jerome, Arizona. I think this is someone trying to win.
Yeah, that actually, that's the first thing I saw.
And you can see people are getting a little encyclopedia-like with their posts, which is just like they're piling on the awesomeness. Maybe it's getting
too
high.
Wasn't that Begina's first post, though?
Was it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because
that's how you saw it, Matt.
Okay. Well, no, I saw it because I saw Jerome on the front, and when I was a kid, we went to Jerome, Arizona, like 3 summers in a row to just sightsee and hang out. And it was just this thing we did from Southern California was drive to Jerome, Arizona, and look at mines and look at old shit.
Wow, neat.
So. See, which is, you know, I saw that post because it was a first post. And, you know, my first reaction to it was what I always do, which is, okay, now which of these links should I check the who is on to find out if it's a self link? Yeah. But it didn't really feel like one. So
and Begina's been participating all over the site, too.
Yeah,
I see him in Ask Metafilter a lot, too. I usually don't lay into people if they seem to.
If they have a history, yeah.
If they have any history at all, really.
We're mostly have a hair twitch reaction to fly-by-nighters that have been here for a week with 3 throwaway comments. They're often just, you know, wanting to spam us with something.
Well, always except the times we can't figure out is my feeling
that's
on that.
True.
Well, yeah, and that's... I feel bad because, like, it's such an effective kind of indicator that someone's up to something, but at the same time, when someone isn't, you know, people on the site, you know, have the same sense. And to some extent, it's probably people who hang out at MetaTalk and have heard us talk about specifically what stands out when someone does something bad. But also people just have that general horse sense where they see someone just signed up and doesn't have much activity, period.
And the hell out.
Yeah, you get these problems where people are like, okay, so what's the deal? And the person's like, what do you mean, what's the deal? It's my first post. I'm sorry.
You guys are mean.
Yeah, it's. I feel a little bit bad when that happens.
I feel like an old grizzled cop sometimes now. I'm evaluating every comment to any blog I run and people who add me on Twitter, just looking for what's their angle. Like, are you? There's like people who leave legitimate comments on my blogs, but their name will be like, you know, Insomnia, and the link goes to like Insomnia Meds, but it's like a totally lucid like 2 paragraphs, and I'm like, you fucking brilliant comment spammer, you asshole.
Yep.
I don't even pay attention to people who follow me on Twitter. Is there a reason to pay attention?
I just hate like all the marketing douchebags who are just like, I'm a social media market influencer and I follow 20,000 people, and I'm like, fuck, I'm not helping this asshole be a bigger asshole. Like, I just block those people.
Yeah, I know a couple people who keep an eye on anybody who adds them on Twitter, and if that person appears to be just sort of like a friend spammer, even if they don't do anything. I mean, there's nothing that's going to happen to you because somebody who's a random dog is following you, but they sort of capitalize on that whole look at the size of my social networking dick thing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people
stop talking about your dicks already.
Man, what is the cooter clock at?
It's done. I turned canceled. It off yesterday.
It's
somebody
it's
wanted to
no
bang
more.
That Dresden Dolls chick. That was pretty crazy.
That was the thread it came up in. The meta talk
thread about that, which was actually Ubu being like, "Oh hey, look, what's her name showed up. That's cool." And I was like, "Yeah." After 10 different people said they wanted to bone her, but she was nicer about it than I was. So I just figured it was about time. We were into 2009 already, and.
Could you
points made. I'd like to do something else, you know.
She's on a web. She's wandering into a forum. She's probably just totally used to it. I mean, you know, FARC would link to her, and it'd be a million times worse than other blogs.
Yeah, it sounds like people were saying she's been pretty active online, so it's not all that unusual for her to show up necessarily in a discussion.
Well, and I do think, if you're one of those people that walks around like being sexy and selling your records to boys, it is a little bit unfair to expect them not to be like, you're pretty. It's just a question of where you draw that line appropriately. Yeah. But she was totally classy about it, and it was cool to see her show up in that thread.
Yeah, and then Dan Kaminsky, of course, commenting. We had those two back-to-back
In the DNS thread, Effugus, right? Effugus.
Yeah. I want to say Effugus, but I don't know why I want to say that.
Tempest Effugus?
We should ask him.
And that's why Time Is Tight still reads Metafilter, thank God.
Yes.
That's this comment. I like him.
This is a repeat of, I mean, there was a MetaTalk thread about him, and I think we mentioned on a podcast in the summer when this first happened. Like, oh my God, this is one of our own.
Right.
So yeah,
yeah,
that was cool.
Those are the two links to it.
That was nice.
Yep, there it is.
I thought so.
Wow, cool.
What else? Oh, okay, so no one's going to care about this except for the people who've already seen it, probably, but just in case there's a few who haven't. Diplomacy, the classic board game.
I'm not listening to you anymore.
It's going on the Metafilter, and we've got a couple games going, and it's good so far. I can't really talk about the game I'm in. We're trying to be good and play what's called Gunboat, where everybody remains functionally anonymous for the
duration. Is that like
of the
game Longboat?
Itself.
What is that?
What is
I don't understand.
Okay, so Diplomacy, really, really briefly, is it's kind of a tactical World War I era seven-headed battle. So you've got seven different powers in Europe fighting for domination of the continent over a period of usually like 10 to 15 years of game time. Hmm.
I'm totally recording this so that I can fall asleep to it tonight.
Girls don't get games. No, but the interesting thing is, you know, people think, everybody knows about Risk, and Risk, you sit down and you roll a bunch of dice, and whoever rolls the best wins, basically. Yeah. It's not a very
I played Risk
big-brained
online
game.
Using this really old-school non-Ajax game.
Well, there's that card game, the Risk card game or something that we talked about on the podcast a couple months ago.
Oh,
but go on, Josh.
But anyway, so the thing is, Risk, you play with dice. Diplomacy, there's no dice, and all the units are basically tactically identical in strength. So you actually have to do clever things with getting other players to do stuff to help you out if you want to accomplish anything. And since everybody's vying for ultimate domination of the game, that means you have to make alliances with people who expect you to try and fuck them over. But, you know, you also can't get anywhere unless you do work with people at some point in the game. So it's kind of this game of lying well and convincing people it's in their best interest to do something that is inherently not in their best interest. And you've got seven people doing it to each other the whole game until someone wins or you get
a
stalemate.
It sounds like the entire world of cash gifting on YouTube.
Oh, kind of.
Yeah, you know, I would love to see how cash gifting guys played Diplomacy, you know. who would win and who would not?
Guys at the top of the pyramid, baby.
But yeah, so there's you can play it online via email, and there's a thing called flock.net that actually will adjudicate the game, so that you put in your moves and then the computer does all the okay, who wins and who loses in this particular conflict kind of thing, which is really great because it speeds up the game in that respect. And yeah, we've got three games going on, and I think we may start up another, and we'll probably keep it rolling. But it's a really good time. So anybody who really likes war games and wants to lie and be lied to, definitely check out that thread.
What if you don't like war games, you just like lying?
You could probably team up with someone who likes war games but is a lousy liar and double-headed.
Excellent.
Let's move to Ask Metafilter.
Over to Ask Metafilter?
Before our time is up. I'm just going to make up a imaginary deadline.
What? Oh, thanks.
Let me see. I
didn't look at any of the popular favorites, but my like favorite just, oh my God, I learned something I didn't know, was like one post and one comment. Post being, what is downstairs on a plane when you're on those like big planes and you try to figure out where the stewardesses go? And Blue Mustard links to this huge page that's just totally full of crazy pictures of the insides of planes, which I did not know exists.
These are like 747s and up, probably, right?
Yeah. And there's like crew quarters that look like those little, like they look like old school planes when you used to sleep on continental flights or overseas flights and stuff like that, with little bunks just like on the trains, and it's cool looking.
Wow.
That was number one. Number two, what happens to my iTunes music that I share with my wife when I get divorced?
What?
Talk about the 21st century.
Well, seriously, two people, one iTunes account, now we're divorcing, and people gave the guy like, here's my idea. But then he totally emailed Apple, and in 4 hours got, here's the answer, and here's how to make it work. Basically, you know, you have to take your credit card information off of it and do this, that, and the other, and but it'll totally work, and I thought it was cool.
Wow. That's customer service right there.
I know.
The everything was a reference like list that I favorited. Like what are the best public domain books and what should be in my kitchen, or there's one good one about what should I read to like look at before I plunk down money on an iPhone app.
You totally love all those things that would otherwise be like on Lifehacker.
I know.
Like,
I know. No, I hate that shit. Here's the only one I like. I'll tell you the only one that's like useful. I've seen 1,000 of these, like, you know, show me your favorite kitchen gadget. This one was like...
I love these every time they come up.
I know. These come up a lot. Like, help me shop for some cool stuff. This one was special to me because it was like, I splurged on special sheets. And a special shower head and special shower curtain.
And it was so worth it.
It changed my life. Tell me, just like, money is no object. Literally, the few life luxuries that make life better that actually work. Tell me about.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, it's great because, I mean, it's... You don't think about that stuff necessarily. You don't... Yeah, it's the stuff that you don't realize can be such an improvement until someone who's, however, you know, tripped across that figures it out. And... You know, people don't have the option of spending lavishly on every aspect of their life just to find out what works.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be able to get that sort of heads up from somebody who really nailed it on the chair issue or the shower head issue.
Yeah.
Or whatever the hell.
When I lived,
and if that's the one thing that's driving you crazy, you can say yes, okay, at last.
Is the Chumbi really the awesomest alarm clock? I was just looking at that.
It's okay, it's kind of clunky. I hate having. I don't know. I'm okay with it. I don't know. It's kind of a. I found it to be kind of.
You have one?
Yeah, I bought one when they first, like, in beta. But, like, you have to, like, auto-dim it. Like, you couldn't set up scripts to, like, figure out when the sunset is and when it should dim itself. And, like, it was kind of...
That's stupid.
I know.
Heated toilet seat.
I know.
See, you know, and I gotta say, the alarm clock is one of those things that I can't imagine being worth my money. Like, that's something I would never... You know, I need a better alarm clock. I want the shittiest alarm clock I can get. Because if I really have one of those mornings where I'm going to hit it, you know, I want it to cost $5. I'm going to go to Goodwill and buy something that's something
maybe
20
you need
years ago.
Bulletproof or bounceable alarm clock. That's what
maybe.
I would like.
No, they
this
have
is
the
one
alarm
that,
clock.
That one that runs away from you?
Yeah, it's a clocky.
You drop it on the floor and it goes and hides under your dresser.
I mentioned this link that has popped in the chat window because it had the trash can upgrade, and it's something, this is perfectly something you never think about, something you just might accidentally pick up this knowledge and it's good to share. I have the exact trash can they link to, a simple human trash can. It's like you use it and you're like, oh my god, someone spent like 6 months of their life thinking about every perfect thing about a trash can. Like, you know, when you put the bag in, there's a place to hold the bag, the extra bag, slack, and I'm like, wow, it cinches down. You drop it in, and it has holes for air to shoot up as the sleeve goes in, so there isn't a weird air pocket holding it down. Like,
is it going to surprise any of you guys that I have that trash can? I mean, it's a little different, and it was my grandma's, but it's the same damn thing.
I just remember thinking, like, wow, someone like totally over-engineered a trash can in a million wonderful ways, and wow.
Yeah, that's easy. And you know, I grew up in a trash can is in the cupboard under the sink family, so I've never really had a place in my life for a sort of step on it lidded trash can, but that's good to know. If I ever find myself going through a crisis of identity, I can go
just
for this.
Buy that one. Don't even ask.
Yeah,
don't even
yeah.
question
well,
it.
And you know, you mentioned the. Yeah, the heated toilet seat. I don't think we really need that because our bathroom doesn't get that cold. But you know, adjusting to the new house, we were in an apartment for years that had radiator heat, and it was always warm. Like, it was the biggest problem was it would get too warm in there sometimes, and we have to crank down the heat and open up the windows if it was, you know, getting away from us. And this house is much bigger than that, and a lot colder than that. And the upstairs, you know, for the first time in my life, I think I'm actually considering the merits of an electric blanket as, you know, a possible
mattress
way to make
pad warmer.
Yeah.
Don't even get a blanket. And
like
then you lie
underneath.
Down on top of it and it makes
oh,
your
man.
Bed warm.
That's the
which
only
is
thing.
Another suggestion in that thread.
Yeah, that's the only thing I like about electric blankets is leaving them on for like an hour or something, then going to bed and having a warm bed. Wow.
But they're shitty as blankets. Leave your blankets as blankets and then get the mattress pad warmer for like $40 and you can have two sides so one side can be hot and the other side can be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's
which
a good
sucks
idea.
If you sleep in the middle of the bed, but they're actually pretty great.
There's something weird and foreign about having like a blanket with a bunch of wires inside it and modules
exactly.
around, especially around your private parts. I remember being a kid. I was like 8 years and old, and I stayed at someone's house, and I was like, this isn't right. This is weird.
And you have cats.
Yeah.
I would worry.
The only thing I had picked out from Ask Me, actually, is a thread from, I think it just got posted last night, but it's not any fun. It's actually someone saying, hey, the thought of my impending death and the nothingness ensuing after there is terrifying to me, and...
I saw you in
that
thread.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where it's I don't tend to talk much in a sort of introspective or a sort of philosophy of life threads because I don't know I just don't enjoy it that much. But this is one of those things where it's like, you know, I totally hear you, and I said, you know, my take on it is more or less, you know, well, it sucks, but I try not to think about it. But it's interesting looking through that thread. You have everybody has all these different approaches to the problem of, you know, how do you deal with this? And you know, my cynical
angst.
Yeah, my take on it. I'm really kind of a cynical grump about it. And I personally don't have any use for the notion of trying to talk yourself around it. But you know, I mean, that's me. I'm also sitting here being a you know grumpy atheist. So you know, obviously there are more than one way to approach it. But it's interesting seeing all the different ways people sort of approach the problem from trying to actually deal with it logically, like think about why it must not be a big deal because, hey, you didn't exist before you were born, right? To people talking more about sort of religious aspects of it or whether or not it's good to distract yourself from it versus sort of plow into it and sort of take it head on. So, yeah, it's really kind of an interesting read because everybody's just sort of like this slice of personal philosophy popping out. that I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, we all have to come,
you know, in a contemplating death.
Yeah, all all us atheists have to go through this reckoning and figure out how to deal with the confusion. I just got to say, it's an anonymous question. If you haven't just browsed the anonymous, anyone listening hasn't browsed the, just the all anonymous questions page, like there are just some like amazing shit lately. Just like mind-blowing stuff. There's something that's going to blow your mind in that list. Like the,
yeah.
I didn't see the one about hacking the found a credit card database like online.
Cortex and I were talking about that this morning. Somebody found a PHP MyAdmin interface to a
major
multinational corporation database, and that's all great, right? Like, oh shit, tell someone. But then they deleted themselves from it. Well, and then Cortex.
Yeah, and then they deleted a bunch of other rows they mentioned, and that's the thing that got me. I can understand.
Oh shit.
Yeah, cause, well, I mean, yeah, they're talking about what they found it because they were like just like Googling their partner's name or something like that.
Now
and,
I'm
you know,
a hacker.
Honestly, if I was there and it wasn't something where they had a really good reason to want to keep that name in the database, I might delete like my wife's name too if someone was doing this. But I wouldn't then say, you know, why don't I delete some more while I'm at it? Let's just randomly remove some people from this database. That probably won't bother anybody because it's a.
My favorite part of this whole thread is Falcon Red pops in. The guy asks, or the lady asks, could what I did be considered hacking? Falcon Red is like, I'm a criminal defense attorney. The answer to that is yes.
Really?
Like, not even like, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not your lawyer. He's like, oh, yes, I'm an attorney. You're in trouble.
Why? If it's public, like, it's like an attractive nuisance thing. Like, it's really the person that didn't password protect it is. One
it's not saying that you couldn't make a defense, just that they could reasonably, you know, come after you probably.
I guess that's vandalizing
as stupid as some of
an unlocked store or something. You still
it's the deleting shit. It's not the looking at shit.
Well, what would you have done? Like, I mean, that,
I would have sent an email.
I would
if it was me,
I'd just drop all.
Yeah. Start spamming Usenet.
There's been a lot of crazy. I just can't even pick one. There's been so many crazy anonymous posts.
Oh, wait. Here's one non-anonymous update that I just wanted everybody to know about. The gal who was going home for Thanksgiving with her boyfriend, and she was really afraid that everything was going to be sketchy and scary in the Midwest, and she posted an update that everything went fine.
There's snowmen. Sweet. There's pictures in Flickr.
Yes. And there's pictures in Flickr. And it was adorable, and so, yeah, happy story.
I asked a question looking for tamales, and I went to a tamale shop suggested yesterday and had wonderful tamales. So, shit got resolved in my world yesterday.
Did you update it?
The thread? I said, yep. And someone said, go to this place, they have the awesomest tamales, but the guy who owns it's a fucking dick, and I hate him. And I was like, he was the nicest person I ever met. Like, he was crazy nice. I don't know... I don't know if I went to the wrong shift or wrong shop, but I met the nicest person on the planet there serving the
thanks
best
to
tamales.
Somebody saying he was a dick.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So I definitely had to update.
The only I wanted to mention. Oh, what is this on the?
On the subject. Just on the subject of updating, I actually got my first of our new "Hey, you should go update your post" emails.
Me too.
And this was for when I asked about how to scrape Twitter sort of daily aggregation of my Twitter output when I was doing the Twitter Nano Rival novel.
Oh yeah.
And that ended up being a non-issue. I think I
because we
day
all
four,
unsubscribed to you. I think I still need to.
It's not that hard to copy
you,
eight.
You probably
posts.
Didn't even unsubscribe. You wouldn't have needed to because I just stopped. I stopped in mid sentence and started playing video games instead.
No, I'm already following you. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw this.
But
one.
You know, a bunch of people actually did finish. If you check back on the NaNoWriMo thread and MetaTalk, people are still talking about their wrap up. A bunch of people did end up crossing the 50,000 word threshold. So
put a link to that or find it. Can we find that?
Yeah, I'll track
what
that.
Did you say?
Mephites. That's what you call them.
That's
their name.
Who call them?
Fired.
Yeah.
Mephites.
Hey, this is a job for tags. Oh, except I did the NaNoWriMo tag and I found the NaNoWriMo MetaTalk post from 2005.
So you give me guff for mephites, and then you say NaNoWriMo?
Yeah.
How do you say it?
NaNoWriMo.
NaNoWriMo.
It's right.
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 Mm.
It's not National Novel Reaming Month.
I'm not feeling it.
Yeah, whatever. but yeah, how are we doing on tagging? I haven't checked in on the progress on the MetaTalk.
Oh, it's slow and sad. But we're doing fine.
You should
thanks
probably
for
just
asking.
Open it up at this point. Because I know some of my old posts have great tags, and it's probably enough.
We should really
this
let people who want to go back and tag their own do it. That's the one thing that strikes me as probably.
Yeah,
worth doing
I think that's a good
like,
idea.
Well, why
too.
Can't I tag my post?
I would just we could just add them, like just add the word add tag, you know, in the sidebar to all the old ones, and your friends can add to it as well. Just like
I mean, this is just MetaTalk. The rest of the site is tagged and
this isn't rocket surgery. It's MetaTalk.
No. But what I mean is the rest
it's
of the site
bullshit
is
anyway.
Done. So MetaTalk has the like you know the subtext, but the reason it was slow is because you know you have to kind of read the thread to figure out what happens,
and
we were trying to stick with a little bit of controlled vocabulary so that everybody didn't call. Everything
crazy.
Tons of different stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but it may be worth
the recent NaNoWriMo rhyme.
Well, I think I mentioned it in the previous podcast, so it's probably in the links there. So yeah.
Right.
You know, I had a really bad idea, and I don't know if this will ever actually happen, but talking about the anonymous list, I had this notion a while back of going through all the anonymous questions and just sort of picking out general demographic information included in the question description, so male versus female, general age, general location, a few other things, and trying to put up a big sort of aggregate graph of the demographic identity of anonymous. And that was something, if I really got organized and we finished with the MetaTalk thing, I could maybe turn the back taggers on if they want something kind of weird to do. But I always thought that would be kind of funny to find out, you know, anonymous is 57% female and 7% black and, you know, is missing 3% of one eye. You know, just everything they specify other than, you know, hi, my name is.
Right.
And just sort of get this picture of what anonymous looks like. I thought that would be a fun project. But it's a massive amount of data, obviously. So I don't know if that'll happen anytime soon.
I was surprised, speaking of that, I randomly found this Quantcast, this sort of like a new Alexa kind of thing, and it has tons of amazing data that's really accurate on tons of sites. Like the traffic data is really close to accurate.
Is this just based on IP analysis and the demographics of the areas IPs resolved to geographically? Or?
How does IP analysis tell you male or female? There's no chance male.
Yeah,
54%.
I know it seemed low, right? I was like, this is really close. Although I was laughing at, go scroll to the bottom of that. We make like no money a year is almost the most popular. But then you look at education.
But everybody's in.
Everyone's got grad school and finished college. So we're all starving grad students. I thought that was brilliant.
And we all live in California and New York,
honkies.
It looks like. Which doesn't surprise anybody.
Yeah. And we're
there's
old.
No data on whether or not you have a TV. That's like an oversight.
Where does this even come from? This makes no sense.
But, I mean, if you look at the summary view, it's actually quite accurate, I will say, from looking at like my own view of the real data and like five different services trying to get the data. It's really close.
54% male, you think?
Well, I have no idea on that one, but yeah, that one surprised me. But the traffic stuff is actually really close to realistic. Or this complete outside company has never talked to me in my life.
Yeah.
82% passers-by. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. The 70 to 80 is pretty normal. Or that's the...
Right, 80-20, right?
That's like the Ask MetaFilter random looking for shit on the internet people.
Right, and I found you on the first page of my Google search results.
Yeah.
Can I briefly mention this chocolate chip cookie post?
Yeah, that was a fun one. I
sign
saw
off.
That too.
My kid wants to make chocolate chip cookies with chunks of chocolate chip cookie dough in them. How do I do it?
I like the one of just making them with holes in the middle and then slabbing in some chocolate chip cookie dough. You know.
Yeah.
But some people, freezing balls and putting them into the batter.
We didn't get a whole bunch of people freaking out about uncooked eggs too, which I was happy about.
Yeah.
Just
which I was expecting.
I think the last 10 years of cookie dough ice cream and cookie dough eating has sort of mellowed everyone out on that danger.
Well, yeah, and you know, I don't want to. The problem with raw cookie dough is the eggs, right?
Yeah.
And the problem with eggs is salmonella, right? Is my understanding. And salmonella is not really one of those things you die from so much as you just get a really bad day on the toilet.
You die from it if you're a little kid or an old lady or if you're immunocompromised.
Well, I'm not any of those, so
so who cares?
I guess what I'm saying is I'm
so
not going to stop eating the dough off.
Grandpa.
Yeah, he can't.
You know, Grandpa, no, you can't lick the batter, but I am clearing out this bowl. You know.
Well, also, there's like super hyper pasteurized eggs now that are magically, I don't know, radiated or something in the shell.
There's also like
have you bought milk lately? Like ultra pasteurized, it goes bad like in the next presidential administration. It's crazy.
That's coming up in January, Matt.
Oh right, well,
that's like in 3 weeks.
Time to clear out the fridge.
I just bought milk right now. I just bought milk on my way here.
But if you don't, like,
it's not super irradiated
yeah,
though.
If you don't,
it's normal.
Yeah, if you don't stick with cool, you know, non GBH and all that other crap. Like it, the ultra pasteurized stuff is good for like honestly a month and a half. It's just it doesn't seem natural.
It's like that milk in a box.
Yeah.
And it's a funny white color too. I think I always look at it and say, melamine.
All right, I think that we can call this one done.
On that note.
Yay.